Here's the 0-1. Swing, and that one is hit high into the air right field. Adolis going back to his right. He's back on the track. This one's carrying well, and it carries out of here. Cal Raleigh, his major league leading 42nd home run of the season, and it's now 3-0 Mariners.
Rangers have now lost 3 of 4 after getting blanked 6-0. That's not fist pump or light pump worthy. Because you could do the lights for the deadline. Although, you know what? These guys don't think
cut
it's
out the
worthy.
Lights. That's what you should do. It needs to be a representation of what the Rangers did like yesterday. We're going to do a whole segment like this. It's a funeral.
Wait, let me see what it looks like.
It's not bad. We're illuminated. We got our screens. Well, Sean's disappeared now.
All right, let's keep it like this.
This you look like Deep Throat.
This is the someone called Ruben. Someone's like, turn the lights on immediately. Ruben's already on the line. Did someone call you to say turn the lights on? Oh, it's an...
No, we lost the station, so we're not there.
Oh, man, this is amazing content.
That'd be hilarious if Ruben caused the power to go out because
oh, my God, by turning the
lights.
That'd be great. What is it? There's a mosquito in here. That's the first one I've seen. That thing's going to bite the hell out of me.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure we'll be fine there, West Nile.
You need to go to a psychiatrist.
No, I'm fine. See? Oh, did you catch that? Oh, I could have sworn you caught that.
I
thought you just missed me
on
that.
Oh, we're on air.
We just said we lost the station.
You said we lost the station.
We're on the backup. It went to the backup access.
Yeah, we're on the backup.
You know
we're good, guys.
Hold on. Why didn't Peyton interrupt us? Yeah. Peyton's on the other end, knows we're connected.
No way you believed Ruben. No way you believed Ruben. I thought he was going to tell you, no, you're on the backup.
No, he goes, we lost power, and he's like on the phone, and so we're just sitting here BSing. I didn't realize we were on the air for the last... I want to call to the bullpen or a curfew on him. That's what I want, because he can't do... Every night he is up until God knows when, and I think he's starting to scramble his brain. He's becoming a little smartass, too. I liked it when he was just quiet, no one knew anything, oh, we felt bad, and then we give him this praise and give him a Paloma, and now all of a sudden he's broken out, and he's tripping our power with his little light show over here, and then let us just talk here randomly. I honest to God thought we were off the air.
Am I
the only one?
I did too. I thought we were too.
We lost power.
I like the energy we've gotten this morning for Ruben. It's
shut up, Bobby. No one cares what you think.
A lot of people care what I think.
877-881-1053 is the Franco LaFranco injury attorney text line to grade Chris Young. I'm going to go B. I think Pepe went B-. Choppy went C+, B-. Bobby went
D.
D. D, because there was no offense added. So y'all go ahead and grade it on the Franklin LaFranco text line.
Yeah, this is just, to me, it's like the biggest thing you needed, and it was neglected. And the thing that was...
But can't they argue, I'm just devil's advocate, can't they argue the numbers that Choppy has been throwing out of leading baseball over the past month in runs scored? They say Semien has gotten going? Josh Young has gotten going. This is what we've been preaching the entire time. Again, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, no.
I agree that they don't have enough offense, and I was not also totally convinced with some of the numbers, because I was listening to what you were saying about Corey Seager carrying it, but couldn't they make some cases?
Generally, the thing about the offensive output, though, has been that it's basically been Seager and then a rotation of somebody else catching fire. And like Boone said yesterday, he's like, we keep having this thing where, you know, somebody will catch fire, a couple guys will be going through down times at the same time. So, like, I mean, they notice it, they know, and they didn't do anything about it. Instead, they went out and they were like, well, let's go get Merrill Kelly and that's going to fix everything. Merrill Kelly's fine. I don't like giving up Cole Drake for him, and I don't like that your big move is a guy who goes, I'm going to try and induce weak contact. It's terrifying in this day and age to have a pitcher, for me anyway, that just says, I'm going to get bats. Like, bats are going to hit the ball, and that's my strategy. I'm just going to have them hit it where they are. Like, that's my strategy. That is not something I want to see.
Rangers insider Jared Sandler gave his thoughts on Merrill Kelly.
Free agent to be... And a guy who really, really knows how to pitch. Like, you know, in between the ears, all that stuff, the intangible stuff, he's got it. Now, Merrill Kelly this year has been a really good pitcher. He's got an ERA in the low threes. And remember, pitching in Arizona is not easy. That tends to play more as a hitter's park. So Merrill Kelly pitching well at Chase Field with a 3.22 ERA portends well. Opposing hitters barely hitting over 200 against him. He's a guy who gets a lot of chase. He is a ground ball pitcher. His best pitch, the pitch he throws most often, is a changeup. He's holding opposing hitters to an average below 200. He's not a guy who is necessarily vulnerable against lefties or righties. Lefties have been a little bit better against him from the slug standpoint, but both lefties and righties hitting below 220 against Merrill Kelly. So a guy who's going to help provide some depth to the pitching staff in general. He'll be a starting pitcher for the Rangers and indirectly will help the bullpen, because now if he's going to take a rotation spot, one of the Rangers starters will eventually move to the bullpen and add some depth there.
Look, I think that getting Merrill Kelly is fantastic for October. When October rolls around, to have a third starter.
You got to get there, too.
You got to get there. That's the problem. Like, are the Rangers better?
But Merrill Kelly can help you get there, too.
Yes, he can. Are the Rangers a better team today? I'm going to do – I hate this radio. I'm going to answer questions. I'm going to answer my own questions.
All right.
This is classic. Are the Rangers better today than they were yesterday? Yes. Are they more equipped to win the World Series if they get to October? Yes. Are they more equipped to get to October?
Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah. I think they are a better team than they were yesterday. I don't think they are better than anyone else that they were already better than yesterday.
All right, that's a way to put it. What's more exciting? Merrill Kelly or the two bullpen additions?
The relievers.
So Merrill Kelly adds to your outstanding staff, but you had more of a weakness in this area, and you addressed it with two people, although not as known as Merrill Kelly.
I actually think Merrill Kelly – I do like Merrill Kelly. The bullpen pieces – their bullpen wasn't a problem. Like, their bullpen was a problem at the back end, but they still were, like, top five in bullpen ERA. Their issue was, did you trust anybody in the ninth inning?
And they still have that issue.
And they still have that issue.
Someone told me yesterday, it's kind of like if we got three quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback.
Right.
Now you have three or four different options, but you don't have your absolute true, no doubt, closer to go to with that type of stuff.
There were, what, six closers or closer-ish guys traded yesterday? And they didn't get any of them?
Phil Maton is going to the Rangers from the Cardinals, impending free agent. Elite swing and miss, according to Sandler, despite not being high 90s. So he doesn't have that type of stuff, but still elite swing and miss. And he's the one who destroyed Josh Young's wrist and arm right by drilling him.
Oh, that's going to be awkward in the clubhouse there.
I don't think so.
Merrill Kelly, by the way, really quick. These are his last five starts.
Oh, his last 10 starts, his ERA is like under two.
Five hits, three walks, three strikeouts. Four hits, no walks, four strikeouts. You got one hit, four walks, six strikeouts. Three hits, four walks, five strikeouts. Like, that consistently is going to eventually catch up and get you runs. Like, baseball has shown
the amount of walks.
The amount of walks and the amount of contact, the amount of hits, like, that eventually adds up to you give up runs over time if you pitch like that.
You know, can you break
that? But
hang on.
Giving up three hits in six innings, four hits in seven innings, there are six hits in six and two-third. The thing that scares me the most is the four walks in back-to-back outings.
But it's not just the walks; it is the walks and the number of strikeouts. Like, he
averages about five strikeouts for the month.
Yeah, he's under nine. His career strikeout per nine, I think, is 8.2, which is not a guy who gets swings and misses. And that's the thing, is that if you in an era like this, in an era where everybody's so free swinging and guys are striking out 200 times a year. Like, he doesn't, miss bats.
As your three? You don't think he's a fantastic three?
It's fine. To me, it doesn't do anything, though, to say, like, that they're significantly better. You can throw in somebody like that, great. Like, I mean, to me, it's no different than they just traded for, like, a better Patrick Corbin, basically.
I think you are underselling Merrill Kelly. Like, Merrill Kelly has got 130 innings and not even allowed 100 hits. That's pretty good. Like, that's pretty darn good. Now, yes, you're right.
He is a contact pitcher.
I would have to break this down into how he does against quality opponents. Like, you're not going to fit. You know, how you do against Colorado and Washington, I don't care. You know, how has he done this year and last year against your Dodgers, your San Diegos, your good offenses, right? Because good offenses are going to make a contact pitcher pay. But there's nothing wrong with Merrill Kelly. I mean, did they get the best starting
pitcher? There's nothing wrong with Merrill Kelly in a vacuum. There's something wrong with Merrill Kelly as your solution as a contender.
Did they get the best starting pitcher that was traded at the deadline?
Probably. Here's the problem. Is I don't give a damn. I don't care. The Cowboys have enough pass rushers right now. If they go out there and go, did they not just sign the best edge rusher that was available on the free agent market right now? Sure. Okay, cool. Great. Go get it. I don't care.
I understand what you're saying. They needed a bat.
They don't need another edge
rusher. They needed a bat. I mean, go again. What bats? O'Hearn was traded. Laureano was traded. Correa.
Yeah, oftentimes you're getting these guys traded in your own division, by the way. Now, just sitting by and letting them.
And not only did Correa get traded in the division, they're also paying $33 million of the $100 million that are left. By the way, the Twins, y'all should be ashamed of yourself. Y'all traded 9 players yesterday.
Texas misses the playoffs. That's what happens.
The Rangers are also getting Danny Kalum, 35 years old, from the Twins. He lives in Plano, MLB Network, on that edition.
Danny Kalum, a great season, no doubt. Does it change the way you look at the Texas Rangers?
It certainly helps. He can pitch a lot. He can just throw that curveball time and time again. He's tough to hit. I like this. He can get right-handers out with his breaking stuff. I'm not sure they're done, Greg, because let's face it.
They need a closer, do they not? He's not the closer.
You know, their bullpen's been okay, but I agree. Again, getting back to Chris Martin, that was a big injury to them. I don't know when he's getting back. It's been a while. But yes, he could always use one. I don't think they're playing at the top of the market, though. As we see, the top of the market guys are pretty much all gone anyway. But I wouldn't suspect they're done. No, but this is a really good pickup. Don't undersell how good Kalum has been this year.
Now let's get to the other teams. Yankee bullpen. We're standing at practice. RJ goes, I don't know if anyone scores on the Yankees after the fifth inning. You better beat them in the first 5 innings. Y'all talked about Carlos Correa going back to the Astros to play third for now. And then San Diego along with Seattle, the top of the headlines.
Yeah. I mean, San Diego, AJ Preller, all this guy does is go all in. He traded the third overall prospect and 2 other top 13 prospects for Mason Miller and J.P. Sears. They didn't even need a closer. Suarez, their closer. They didn't even need a closer.
I think they got 2 hitters. They got 2 hitters.
Yeah, they got O'Hearn and Laurie. I don't know where Laurie and I was going to play. But, you know, they got O'Hearn, too. I mean, they did a lot. They did a lot. The Yankees went all in on run prevention. Toronto got Shane Bieber. Boston didn't do a ton. I thought Boston kind of missed out on this deadline. And you know, the Red Sox are one of those teams that the Rangers are going to be fighting with, you know, for one of the remaining wild card spots. Or maybe the Rangers are going to, you know, leapfrog Houston. Houston did really well for themselves. They got Carlos Correa back. He waived his no-trade clause. Obviously, Seattle was, from a bat standpoint, the big winner, getting Naylor and Eugenio Suarez over the weekend. I mean, dude, even the Angels made a move, and they got Oswald Peraza. So there was a lot of moves yesterday. Yesterday was a flurry. And like I said about the Twins, they traded 11 guys overall and 9 guys yesterday.
Diamond Cavs on your home of the Rangers here with Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. I'm going to give Chris Young a B, and I'm excited for the stretch run, even though I am still officially worried about the offense.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Fan Phenom is back, ladies and gentlemen, and it is going to be August 7th, State Highway 78 in Sachse will be your first opportunity. That's a Thursday, your first opportunity to try out right in front of the boss man. You get to do a few minutes of a show with a professional broadcaster. You get on the microphone. As Fred said, once that microphone hits, it's all different. Who knows?
Not according to some people, though. Yeah, I could easily do sports radio. I don't know if I'm going to have time in my schedule, was what a texter said yesterday.
Once that microphone turns on and you look at the clock, you're like, oh, there's more time that except I got to fill guy here. Alec knows exactly what I'm talking about. And who knows? You could be the next Jared Sandler. Speaking of, Jared Sandler joining us right now on the KNC Masterpiece. Jared, how exhausting was yesterday for you? I know you had a long day.
Yeah, it's always really fun. I'll tell you, I'm always glad that I'm not one of these beat writers who, you know, in this era now, you know, they try to break news. I just get to sit back and react. But it was a lot of fun. It is, you know, it is a lot. And then on top of that, you're beginning I guess to date the biggest series of the season. And so, but it was a fun day. And, you know, it's always fun when your team's active. I think, you know, whether you're a buyer or a seller, you obviously would much prefer to be a buyer. But either way, just the activity, I think a lot of people like, I know I do. Don't like to just sit dormantly. You know, last year's trade deadline was a little boring, with all due respect to the acquisitions of Carson Kelly and Andrew Chafin and whatnot. But this one a little more exciting, and hopefully the Rangers got three guys who are going to be able to help them make a push for the playoffs.
Do you feel that they gave up too much for any of these pieces or the entirety of this? Because a lot of people are frustrated how much of the top prospects you gave up there.
Yeah, I think there are a few different philosophies here. I align more with AJ Preller, Alex Anthopoulos, Dave Dombrowski school of thought, which is you got to be willing to give up these guys. I mean, prospects are suspects. And I go back to, I mentioned this yesterday on G-Bag, I go back to the Cole Hamels trade 10 years ago. The Rangers gave up 5 of their top 10 prospects, and that's when they had what was considered to be one of the best systems in baseball. That's not the case right now. So the prospect rankings that people see, a little inflated because the farm system, you know, isn't like a top 5 farm system. But none of those 5 guys ended up, you know, panning out anywhere close to, you know, the ways that we thought that they might. And the reality is that's often the case with prospects. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. I mean, the Rangers just faced the Braves and Jurickson Profar. And Jurickson Profar's turned out to have an okay career. But Jurickson Profar was like a can't-miss number one prospect in all of baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Adell, the Rangers just faced the Angels. Same thing. I think you look at the best teams in baseball, the teams that perennially compete at the top level, those are teams that losing Mitch Bratt, losing Cole Drake doesn't wreck their organization. Now, that's not to say that Mitch Bratt and Cole Drake won't become good pitchers. I think, you know, they certainly can be. But you shouldn't. Your organization's trajectory should not be altered by not having either or both of those guys. Good organizations now replenish, right? Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, you find the next Cole Drake and Mitch Bratt, and you continue to build the farm system. So I don't think they gave up too much. That's what the market was. This was a seller's market. Word on the street was if the Rangers wanted one of those closer options, they were going to have to give up Sebastian Walcott. And I don't think that they were too interested in that, but that okay. just gives you an idea of what the price tag was to make some of these deals. And so, Bratt, Drake, you got to pay to play. You can't expect good players and not be willing to give up some good prospects in the process.
Well, and then your boy, you mentioned AJ Preller, and I couldn't agree more with you, Jared. I mean, look, you got to do what you got to do. Didn't he kind of set the table when they got rid of the number 3 overall prospect for Mason Miller? I mean, didn't that pretty much say, okay, if you're going to be involved in this today, the entry fee is not going to be cheap?
Yeah, and, you know, Fred, you're 100% right. And I think that teams like the Rangers who wanted, you know, one of those options, they kind of got hosed by the Felix Bautista injury and the Emmanuel Clase, paid leave. Because now all of a sudden, the supply and demand calculus shifted dramatically. Now, Mason Miller's a guy who's got multiple years of control. Some of these options, that wasn't necessarily the case. But, yeah, I mean, if you're giving up, like Leo DeVries is one of the best prospects to be traded in, probably in a couple years, maybe since the Juan Soto deal that also involved AJ Preller. that was obviously an eye-opening move, and that was also one that kind of, I don't want to say came out of nowhere, but it wasn't like people were sure that Mason Miller was going to get traded the way we were sure that Sandy Alcantara was going to get traded, the way we were, you know, sure that Luis Robert was going to get traded, which is just another reminder that, you know, anyone who says they have any clue what's going to happen, none of us have any clue. It changes every year. The market changes its shifts. But, it was definitely a seller's market, which the waters have kind of been muddied by the third wild card. But there were enough teams out there who had the right commodities who shifted that landscape a bit. So, yeah, again, I just think that you got to be willing to be aggressive. And it's just really tough. Now, the one thing I'll say, guys, if you are a bottom to mid-tier organization from a financial standpoint, if you're the Milwaukee Brewers, if you're the Cleveland Guardians, if you're the Tampa Bay Rays, maybe that mindset shifts a little bit because you need these guys to come up and give you, for lack of a better phrase, cheap labor because you're not able to pay. I understand that there was a lot of financial discussion surrounding the Rangers this trade deadline, but that's only because they have been spending a lot. This is not an organization that is in the same conversation of, you know, some of those organizations I just mentioned.
Say the Dodgers.
The common thread here, I mentioned the Braves, I mentioned the Phillies with Dombrowski, the Braves with Anthopoulos, the Padres with Preller. These are all organizations that spend money. And so if you're an organization that has the ability to spend money, you can't get hung up on, you know, Cole Drake and Mitch Brad if you feel like you can add someone who's going to impact your team.
All right. I am, and I know a lot of other people are confused about not adding a bat, but I don't believe that this team, that Chris Young didn't try. Can you kind of walk me through what they're thinking on this or what you think they're thinking?
Yeah, I always look around to see, all right, so what other moves were made? And one guy who I think the Rangers, were interested in was Ryan O'Hearn. But, you know, even Ryan O'Hearn doesn't fit maybe their biggest need offensively, which is, you know, they need someone who, who's able to hit lefties. Ryan O'Hearn is a left-handed hitter, so he's not that guy. There really weren't those guys moved. I don't think the Rangers really felt like there was an offensive fit that, you know, made sense given the prices. And again, it would be one thing if there were three, four different guys who it's like, oh, I wanted that guy, I wanted that guy, I wanted this guy. But there really wasn't. You know, the one guy who I thought would have been interesting was Ramon Laureano, who went to the Padres.
Yeah.
He went with Ryan O'Hearn from Baltimore to San Diego. But, I think they tried. Corey, I think their thought process isn't that they didn't feel like they could benefit from an upgrade. I think they definitely did. But I think they look at their roster offensively and they think, wait a second, this is a lineup, this is a roster that we believed was going to be a top five group when the season started, and they have been trending in that direction now, not for 2 weeks, but really for the better part of 2 months, last night notwithstanding, for whatever reason, the Rangers can't score in Seattle. And I think, you know, their thought is, hey, we have given you guys all the support. You guys now need to start supporting us by performing. You know, Jock Peterson is right there smack dab in the middle.
Yeah.
And Adolis Garcia is right behind him, in that Adolis can be the easy answer to, hey, how can we hit lefties better? Well, Adolis Garcia is a guy who, even last year when he struggled, was still about 200 points better in terms of his OPS against lefties than he is this year. So they need the guys that they have to start performing better. And I feel like they think that with the best pitching staff in baseball, that's more than enough for them to compete at a high level. That's not to say they didn't feel like they could benefit from an upgrade. I just think that the price tag and the lack of bats that really moved to fit what the Rangers were looking for with the prices they were willing to pay, there just weren't many of them. And, again, Ramon Laureano was the guy who I thought would be the most interesting fit, but obviously ended up going to San Diego.
What's the latest and greatest with Jake Berger? And we were talking about it, and I can't remember what team we were talking about, where, you know, when you get healthy, like that's kind of its own, that's kind of like you are making a trade when you get guys back from the IL and what have you. Are they kind of seeing Jake Berger as being like, okay, this is going to be the guy in the second half that we thought we were going to get or we expected to get when we made this trade, this past offseason?
Yeah, I think with Berger and Peterson, same boat. You know, Jake has been running the bases. I think the hope, the plan is for him to go out on a rehab assignment here soon. I know he told me the other day he was hoping this weekend. I don't know if it will be this weekend or maybe early next week, but, I think they're going to have him go out on a rehab assignment. And then the question is, and this is a fair question with Jock Peterson, who only had, I think, 6 at-bats on his rehab assignment, is just how long. You know, it's not like these guys need to necessarily rush back, because again, I know the Rangers didn't, have a good offensive game yesterday, but they have been performing a lot better offensively. But he'll go out on a rehab assignment. I think the hope is sometime in the next week to 2 weeks, Jake can be back in the lineup. Fred, he's a streaky hitter, and I think the Rangers are ready for both Jock Peterson and Jake Berger to, get onto the treadmill at 12.0 speed and carry that for a couple weeks and just see this offense reach a little bit of a different dimension.
Great stuff, Jared. Man, have a good time up there. We'll try and catch up with you next week if that's cool.
All right, fellas. Take care.
There he goes, later, Jared, bro. Sandler, our play-by-play extraordinaire.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time to talk some Rangers. A trade deadline today hit at 5 o'clock, and the Rangers got starting pitcher Merrill Kelly from the Diamondbacks. They got relievers Phil Maton and Danny Coulomb. And you know, they've added three players, three pretty dang good players. So we're going to talk with Sean McFarland of the Dallas Morning News to get more details on these. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you're in an automobile collision due to somebody else's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214-817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys here in Dallas. And a good evening, Sean. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Doing good, man. This was a big win for the Rangers at the deadline, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, look, they've been one of the best pitching staffs in baseball, and they only went out and made it stronger. It's never a bad idea to reinforce your strengths, and that's what they went out and did today.
Have you been able to hear from anybody with the team yet as far as the whys and the hows this got done?
Yeah, we just spoke with President of Baseball Operations Chris Young and General Manager Ross Fenstermaker, and kind of what they said is exactly what I just said. Is, you know, when they looked at ways to improve this team and build a roster that they think they can make a playoff push and compete in October and November, you know, they saw reinforcing the pitching staff, both the rotation and the bullpen, as a priority. When you look at the rotation, obviously you have those two horses and DeGrom and Eovaldi, but you know, you have these younger guys like Leiter and Rocker, and DeGrom's obviously has his injury path, and they want to just have protection and an extra guy in there that can give guys breaks if necessary. And obviously the bullpen has been great this season, but it's an older bullpen. They don't really have an experienced closer. So that was obviously a well-documented area of need that they wanted to reinforce for this stretch run.
So when you add Merrill Kelly to a rotation that's already been awesome, what do you think happens now? I mean, are they looking at Leiter and Rocker as maybe options to move to the bullpen with John Gray? I mean, they did have a lot of success during that 2023 run with some of those moves.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Chris Young just said. He literally referenced that 2023 run and said, you know, we saw good returns of having starters in the bullpen or in multi-inning roles or just having that depth. And effectively said it's kind of to be determined on what happens in terms of guys moving to the bullpen or roles changing. But I think the biggest thing right now, as we stand here on July 31st, is they have the optionality. If they decide they want to move a Rocker or Leiter to the bullpen, they can. If they want to give a Jacob deGrom or Nathan Eovaldi an extra day off or two in between their starts, they can. I think having that flexibility these final 2 months is the most important part of all of this.
Do you think, or did they reference at all the pursuit of a bat? Was that something they were hoping for and it just didn't end up working out?
Yeah, I asked Chris Young about that because, you know, obviously the offense has been the thing that has, I think, caused the most headaches this first half of the season. And he effectively said that, you know, they didn't necessarily go into this deadline saying we're only going to go after pitching and no bats. But the way the market unfolded, they kind of prioritized the pitching. And, you know, Chris Young talked a lot about having belief in this offense between the signs he's seen in the last month and also the returns of, you know, Jock Peterson and Jake Berger eventually. And, you know, he's been saying since the offseason that the biggest improvement to this offense will be internal growth, internal development, guys turning it around. And I think that's the case here.
Are you confident Jock Peterson can get this thing turned around?
I tend to believe that the decade-long track record of being a plus hitter will eventually outweigh the half a season of being one of the worst hitters. It's just playing the numbers game there. But look, he's not looked good since he came back from his injury. Now, how much of that is just rust? How much of that is an abbreviated rehab stint? You know, I think time will tell. But I am genuinely of the belief that it will be better. And even if he is his career average, that is still one of the better hitters in this lineup. But he has to go out and do it at some point.
Sean McFarland, Morning News with us here in the G-Bag Nation. What about the Adolis Garcia rumors? How crazy does that get?
You know, it's like this day is already stressful enough, especially in those final like hour, 2 hours, and you're chasing things down, you're trying to confirm things, and then you're sitting there and you see this tweet come across your timeline that you know, one of the kind of faces of this franchise has been traded. And I'll just say it was one of the quickest, like, confirmations I've ever gotten from people being like, no, that's not true. That is not happening.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, I've never gotten a text back from someone so quickly when I reached out to folks. But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be deadline day without, like, a little bit of chaos, I guess, right?
Hey, Sean, kind of handicap how you now see the division with, and I know the smoke probably hasn't completely cleared for you, but can you give us an idea of how this thing might play here now after the deadline with the players that were added?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a three-team race. Like, all three teams got considerably better. You know, obviously, the Mariners went off and beefed up that lineup. The Astros went and brought back Correa. I think it's going to be fun. Like, I think just purely from, like, a baseball fan standpoint, this sets up for a really fun last 2 months. And a really fun series this weekend with the Mariners, kind of seeing these new look teams sort of facing off against each other. But I think in terms of, you know, where each team already was, I don't think a lot changes there. I mean, the Rangers were already making up ground. The Mariners were kind of middling, and the Astros were out in front. So I don't know how much necessarily changes about hierarchy of the division. But I think the fact that the three top teams in the division are all going for it, I think just sets up for a really entertaining second half.
What do you think about the return and what the Rangers gave up in some of these deals? Look, you win a World Series. I think we're all fine with the Aroldis Chapman move and you give up a Cole Reagans. But with some of these names in the minors, what can you tell us about what the Rangers ended up having to give to get?
Yeah, I think they traded from their depth, right? The strength of the Rangers these last few years has been drafting and developing pitchers in those middle rounds. I don't think any of the guys they traded today were drafted above the fourth round. But they're finding guys like Mitch Brett. They're finding guys like Cole Drake in the middle of the draft and turning them into prospects that you can in turn flip for, you know, high-end bullpen help, high-end starters. And I think that's, like, such a good sign of a functioning farm system is when you can, like, create assets like that. But look, they didn't touch any of their top position player prospects. I think some of their better pitching prospects, like Caden Scarborough and David Dalilo, like, they weren't touched. So I think it's a sign of dealing from a strength, right? If you can go out and feel comfortable that you can replace those guys, then it's a lot easier to trade them.
I know Brian's been really worried about this Seattle series, and rightly so. Rangers have struggled.
I'm worried.
In Seattle, what's your forecast for this four-game set, and why the hell can they not win in Seattle?
It's a great question. I mean, I think we've asked the guys ad nauseum about it, and no one really has answers. But I think it's a great litmus test where these Rangers are at right now. And look, you're going to have Jacob DeGrom pitching one of those days. You're going to have the back end of this rotation that's been so good going out there. And I think it's a good chance to see, like, hey, this last month of baseball where you've seen a lot of positive signs, especially in regards to the offense, like, this is kind of the chance to see how real it is versus was it just a really hot few weeks. But like, I think at some point, like, you're going to have to go into uncomfortable settings and win games against teams like the Mariners. So I think this is a really good test just to see, like, what this team's made of and, you know, how real was the month of July in terms of the progress they seem to make.
Sean McFarland, Morning News. Did they break down in how they did staying under the competitive balance tax?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much what Chris Young said about that was all ownership ever tells him is, like, do what you need to go out and win. And that was something kind of going into this deadline was sort of the biggest question mark, was how much financial flexibility would they have? And it kind of implied that they might have to be, you know, looking more at bargains versus those, like, high-end arms, those high-end contracts. But look, credit to, you know, I think it's, no one wants to say credit to, like, the rich owners, but, like, these last 2 years, like, they've exceeded the tax threshold. They've invested funds into this team. And then again, this trade deadline, I think it just suggests that the organization is legitimately focused on winning and giving this team resources to go out and do that.
I love that. Now, I guess my one concern, or my one paranoia, I think better than concern, could you read anything into them adding a starting pitcher? Like, do they have reason to believe that a guy is not going to get healthy or stay healthy?
I think it's more about planning ahead, so if that does happen, you are set. Because, look, like, Jacob deGrom has thrown a lot of innings this year compared to what he's thrown these last 4 years. They've done already a lot to kind of manage those innings, giving Max things off where you can, things like that. I think this helps with that. I think you also look at the younger guys like Jack Leiter and Kamar Rocker. You know, they've never pitched in September playoff baseball or September playoff chase baseball, I should say. Like, this gives you insurance for that as well. And they do expect Tyler Mahle to return this season, which obviously another boost, but you don't know his shoulder injuries at the same time. So I think more than anything, it's less about immediate concerns that they have versus preparing themselves that if those concerns do arise, they're kind of covered.
Okay, how covered are they on their bullpen now? Is this one of the better bullpens? Where would you rank it?
Look, I mean, the one thing I'll say about this bullpen that's been really impressive is I think how flexible it's been. They've pitched a lot of innings. It's an older bullpen. There's no, like, egos back there. Like, no one needs to be the closer. No one needs to be the setup man. So they didn't go out and acquire, like, a frontline experienced closer. But they got two really good back end of the bullpen arms that they can kind of throw into that versatile mix they already have. My biggest concern with this bullpen was, look, I think bullpens can break down faster than anything in sports, you know, just because the length of the season, the workload these guys are under. And I think just getting two reliable arms you can trust back there to kind of help, again, to go back to the previous question, just a little bit of insurance policy, I think that makes a massive boost.
I know we were asking about the Jock Peterson confidence that you have, but just how short of a leash do you think he's on now? Like, how important is it for him to, like, as early as tonight, start making contact?
I think very important, because I think it's, you know, I think the organization and the coaching staff and the whole team, like, has the utmost confidence in him, but at some point you have to produce, right? Something Chris Young has been saying forever now is, like, it is a performance-based game, and you've seen them make these moves, whether it's sending Josh Young and Jake Berger down or benching Adolis Garcia for that 1 week. Like, they're not afraid to get uncomfortable if they feel like they need to. And I think they're obviously giving Jock a little bit of a runway to kind of shake that rust off. But yeah, I mean, this team has not been afraid to, like, make pretty drastic changes on offense if they think it's what's best for the club.
So I'm assuming, like, there's not a lot of brisket sando options there in Seattle, but what is the food scene like out there?
I'll be honest. So I'm actually not on this road trip. I'm kind of banning things back when we have Evan Grant out there. I've never been to Seattle. It is, like, the only division team I've never been to. One of, like, the last few cities league-wide I've not been to. But I've only heard amazing things. I would love to go someday. I'd like to think that these two road trips a year, I'll wind up there eventually. you know, just been playing the numbers game on that. But I've only heard great things, so I'm looking forward to it.
Maybe that's the problem, that you haven't shown up, Sean. Maybe that's why they don't win. Change it up.
I'm gonna pitch that next year when we're doing our little travel meeting.
There you go.
Budgeting it out. Like, you know, let's shake the mojo up a
Kansas
little bit.
City trip. Yeah,
yeah.
Heck with Kansas City. Go to Seattle. Check it out.
Evan needs to stay home.
Yeah. Yeah, I look. Yeah.
Thank you, Sean. Terrific info, and let's get you back on here shortly. Talk about this team getting back in first place or something like that. What do you say?
Let's do it, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Sean McFarland, Dallas Morning News here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, buddy, it's hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Sorry about that. I was just chatting with Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com. As our training camp coverage continues, brought to you by the on-time experts, Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. And it's time to talk with Jared Sandler about your Rangers. Took one on the chin last night, couldn't get the right hits. Maybe Jacob deGrom wasn't as sharp as you normally expect him to be. But we're about 48 hours from the trade deadline here on your home of the Rangers, and it's exciting times because they're talking. You know, the sources are saying the Rangers are shopping. And Jared Sandler joins us now, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. And a good afternoon, Jared. How the heck are you?
Guys, I'm great. I just saw Shohei Ohtani pull up in the Rangers bus, and I see an Ohtani. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't believe yourself, Jared Sandler.
It was Buster only saying rival execs report Rangers aggressively looking to upgrade their bullpen. What do you got on that for us?
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense on a few levels. I hate to sound like a broken record. I know that when talking sports, talking money is not always enjoyable, but you can make substantial gains to your bullpen without having to take on a lot of salary, and that seems to be something that would be of interest. But yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. It's weird because the Rangers bullpen, or the third best ERA in Major League Baseball, but I don't know that you look at the names and say, yeah, this is the bullpen that when you go into the playoffs, the game is over after the sixth inning if we have the lead. And hey, the results are the results, right? Nothing to, you don't need to have a deep resume to have success in this game. But I think that the Rangers would certainly love someone who's got a track record of top shelf ninth inning dominance. Maybe it'd be a bonus if they have a track record of doing it in the postseason. But, I think it would make sense that if this team's going to give themselves the best chance, especially down the stretch, and especially as, maybe you do need a little bit more from your bullpen because your pitching, is getting deeper and deeper into their mileage limit for the season, that adding the bullpen would be a top priority.
Sans, I believe we're going to have to pick up this conversation at a later date because Sam Haggerty is set to join us now here for the Rangers Player Show. So if we could circle back around maybe a later segment, not a later date, if we could maybe we'll ring you back and see if you're available here with the pregame coming up at 8:30.
Yeah, Sam's a priority. He's awesome. You guys are going to love talking to him.
I love it, man.
Love you.
Take care. There he goes. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter, our Rangers insider pre- and post-game show host. And the pregame is coming up at 8:30 here on 105.3 The Fan. It is time now for the Rangers Player Show. And as you heard, Sam Haggerty is our guest today. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
Right on. It's great to have you. We're actually just up the coastline here in Oxnard at Cowboys training camp, so I suppose we are inside the same state's borders. How's California treating you this afternoon? You enjoying this weather?
It's a nice reprieve from some of the humidity there in Dallas, and it's never bad weather in California, so it's always nice.
So, yes, and speaking of nice, your swipe on Saturday night, catcher didn't even make the throw. So what'd you see from Iglesias that allowed you to take it so easy?
You do some homework, you watch some film, you kind of develop a plan, and you study the way that Iglesias likes to go to the plate, the way he likes to control the running game, and ultimately you kind of make a strategic guess, and you roll the dice, and it worked out in my favor.
What are you doing in the moments like it's getting late inning? Are you getting up and stretching? Do you have to go do any sprints or can you like pop off the bench and just go get a bag like that?
Unfortunately, I'm not 20 something anymore, so it takes a little bit more time. But when I don't start, I have kind of a bench routine that starts in about the fifth inning, and then it slowly just progresses, kind of watching the game. Seeing if it's more of a pinch hit or if it's a pinch run or if it's a defensive replacement and then prioritizing whatever aspect it is. Maybe it's doing some sprints underneath, swinging a little bit more, getting your arm loose, whatever the game kind of tells you.
Seems like you still got the same type of speed, though, that you did at 25. Sam, you're moving pretty impressively, bro.
I'm glad you guys think so, but I definitely feel like I've lost a step. But I try to make up for it with my mind and study.
What I'm curious about the art of bunting, and I know in college you were a bunt master. Where has the bunting gone in Major League Baseball? How much is that even talked about? How much is it practiced?
If you fall into a particular category of a type of player, you need to be able to handle the bunt and move the ball around. It's lost a little bit of its effectiveness just because defensive players are so good these days. There's a lot of really good third basemen out there. Pitchers seem to take more pride in fielding their position, so it's not as effective
in terms of bunting for a hit always, and even sometimes just simply trying to move a runner. It has a place in this game and can be used, but it all, you know, it's important to know who's hitting behind you. Will they just walk that guy and ultimately set up another double play opportunity? So there's a lot of aspects to it, and you know, it's something that I like to have in my back pocket just to give Boach another weapon and another card to play.
You, and this is, I'm coming from a place that I have absolutely zero fashion sense whatsoever, but I believe you used to have or still do have a clothing line.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask him, too.
So yeah, like, where did that, how, is that something you've always been passionate about? And, you know, what, do you envision yourselves doing that post-baseball?
You know, it was actually less about fashion, and I don't consider myself too knowledgeable in that area.
Yeah.
It was more so like a medium that I chose to try to communicate through. I really like to read and write, and wow. I had a graphic designer who was phenomenal at drawing, and we kind of put our heads together and just decided to, you know, instead of posting a video or having a standalone portrait, we kind of brainstormed that a piece of clothing moved through society, and we thought that that was a good medium to try and talk through and, you know, put some graphics and some words and have them move through society.
Very interesting. Sam Haggerty here with you on the Fan.
Yeah, I was kind of interested because I was wondering, do you discriminate against big guys? Like, do we have like the kind of the triple extra large? Can I be a big billboard for you? You know, with your words and all that. I mean, I could maybe do the Declaration of Independence across from me if you want to write that out on me. That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. You know, you start with an idea and you kind of, I guess, I don't know, you have a very shallow view of what it means to start a business, particularly a clothing company. Then you start getting into sizing and trying to predict who your audience is and who will buy it and this and that. So that was, you know, there was plenty of learning in this process, and that was one of them.
So talking about like how art and words come together to convey messages, would you have been like a marketer? Like where, or are you more like a creative, like a book writer or something?
I'd probably lean more towards like the book writing. You know, I'm not sure that I have any expertise or any secret sauce or anything. I feel like I have a lot go on in my head, and I started writing when I played in Seattle. There are very long flights, and it was one of the ways that I would pass the time on the flights. I would just write at length, whatever was in my head. And I just kind of allowed however the day or the game, the series, the week was influencing me. And I found it, you know, therapeutic and enlightening to see how a single word would hit me differently based on my moods and what time of day it was and if I was playing well. And, you know, I just kind of thought it was something I wanted to share with people.
Hey, Sam, I know we're talking about clothes and stuff where we were earlier, but I want to know some. Are you a nightmare for the equipment staff? Because your uniform is always like messy, dirty, bad. Like, are you like when you hand that thing in at the end of the night, are they kind of looking at you, okay, Haggerty, once again? Because I remember the game at Baltimore earlier. You were standing on third base, and it was a mess over there. Like you'd played the whole game, the humidity and all that. Are you a nightmare for these equipment men to have to deal with?
You know, maybe on that front, in terms of the detergent used.
Yeah,
but I'm pretty simple otherwise. But you're right. I tend to get my uniform dirty, and not only dirty, I oftentimes have rips in my pants.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
Well, Chuck ripped his pants on the dance floor one time. You ever done something like that?
I'm not sure I have, but we're one and the same.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. I needed the support.
Sam Haggerty here with you in the G-Bag Nation, home of the Rangers. Pregame tonight, 8:30. You good on time? Can we ask you a few more questions?
Yep.
Okay. So what are you writing? Are you journaling? Did that start from, like, reflecting on your game, or are you, like, writing about Dragons and fantasy? Or, you know, can you share with us what you're writing about?
Sure. You know, I mean, I love to read, and a lot of the guys that I like to read are like those old-time Greek philosophers.
Oh, wow. Sweet.
And while that's really, really hard and deep and hard to kind of understand, I try my best, but ultimately it came down to, like, I would pick a word, endure wisdom, love, authenticity. And I would just kind of allow the word to sit on my brain and whatever came to my mind. And it was really open-ended, really stream of consciousness. I tried never to put restrictions on what I could write. And sometimes it was a short couple sentences. Sometimes it was 1,000 words. I just allowed myself an opportunity to kind of get things out of my head. And, I mean, I can share one story with you guys if you have time.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were playing in Houston against the Houston Astros, and I was asked to bunt, actually, in the 9th inning against Ryan Pressly. I failed. I didn't get the bunt down. I proceeded to strike out, very upset with myself. I go underneath the tunnel, and I did the classic baseball player, try to break something. And I swung my bat into a corner of a brick wall, and unfortunately, I did not hit low enough or near my hands to break the bat. It was towards the barrel. The bat hit the wall, proceeded to come back and hit me in the head.
Ooh.
And it knocked me out, and I had to get 9 stitches in my forehead that night.
Wow.
Long story short, I had no concussion. I was able to play the next day with stitches in my head, and you know, but ultimately, I sat on the plane that night after that incident, and I just kind of reflected on what happened, why it happened, and the word I was working with at the time was endure, and so I kind of used the word to look through the entire experience, and I wrote for like an hour straight on what I should have done differently, what I could have learned, what I was unable to endure, and so forth.
Unbelievable, man. Have you ever done the try and break the bat over the thigh out of anger?
Never thought I was that strong, so I went with the brick wall. But since that happened, now I put everything down rather gently, and I just remember that the pain will go away.
I was thinking, because we had a situation with Brock Burke last year. He got ticked off and like punched a wall, fractured his hand or whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like it would be nice to have some type of punching bag or like some type of foam wall that you can just really let your anger out on in a moment of competitive frustration.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, they don't got a lot of those things for us around. So
we need to upgrade that.
We'll work on that, Sam.
Or we can just control our anger.
Fine.
Do you have a book recommendation?
Don't be
for
so
that?
Smart, Sam. All right, come on.
Is anybody is sort of cerebral? Like, do you have anybody that is sort of akin to you in this clubhouse?
Who do you talk to?
I mean, I talk to all the guys. You can learn something from everybody, and
sure,
you know, you definitely don't need to be cerebral. It's people come from different walks of life, and you can always learn something from them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, Chuck asked you if you got a book rec for us. Are you a Marcus Aurelius guy, or what are we doing?
Yeah, absolutely. He is brilliant. If I had to give you a book rec, it's a big one and a dense one, but one of my favorites is Laws of Human Nature by Robert Greene.
Oh, yes.
Laws of Human Nature.
Robert Greene, very powerful author there.
Yeah, I love the way he writes. There's like not a wasted word in anything.
You know, last week around this time, we had your teammate Rowdy Tellez on the program. Did you know about that? Did Rowdy, was there any frustrations involved? I think we probably dropped the ball in that interview, to be honest with you, Sam.
You know, I don't have any social media. I'm not too in the loop with media, period. So I didn't even know that Rowdy was on this program. But
that's phenomenal. That's good news.
Well, if you do happen to run into him, just let him know that it's our bad. We know that, and we're pulling for him.
I'll let him know.
Maybe drop a brisket sando or two.
Very good.
Are you a brisket sando guy?
I mean, a good brisket sandwich I won't turn down. Any good food I won't turn down.
It's a good man.
I love it, Sam. Thanks for your fine work there at the plate and on the base paths and on defense and all the different positions you play. And thanks for checking in with us. So give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Absolutely. Thanks, you guys, for having me.
You bet, man. That was awesome. There he goes. Sam Haggerty here with you on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Family.
Right now, whether you're on the mound, at the plate, or on the road, National Car Rental invites you to stop waiting and start winning. Book like a winner today. And Olshan, we bring you Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How's it going there?
We're doing well. Hope you are doing well also. You said something in the post game yesterday that I think really intrigued both of us, was kind of the idea of how you could have helped John Gray get that final out. John Gray has been really good since his return last night, not his finest performance. Can you elaborate any at all about how you could have helped John Gray better yesterday?
Yeah. And but, you know, as managers, you know, we like to take responsibility at times. You know, John, it looked like he was getting out of it, had two outs, the guy on, had good fastball, I thought. Anyway, I thought where he was in the order, I was trusting that he could get through it, but I could have had Milner up. We had Armstrong that was good to go, and we had Milner, and so that's why I said I could have helped him out. It's just something that we do. You know, that's something I, take personal sometimes when a guy is a little bit off. And so that's why I said that. And it's all about, taking ownership. And I could have helped him out there.
Every fan out there, Boach, I think questions every manager's bullpen decisions in the history of the game. That's how it's always been. But it is a very fine line of knowing exactly when your guy is and when you should kind of let him, give him a little more leash and let him get that work in, right?
Yeah, and Johnny's done a great job in the bullpen.
Yes.
He's done a great job for us. He's got a lot of experience, helps us win the World Series, all that, and he's back, and I think he's done the ball fairly well. He's done a good job in this role since he's come up, so I just had the confidence in him with who he was facing. The two guys that beat us, and they're just hitting right around 200, so felt like he could make the pitches. And they took advantage of a couple of mistakes that he made. I mean, it just showed you last night again what a fine line this game is between winning and losing, and making mistakes, which we did. Made some outs on the bases. Dropping a fly ball is unusual for us. It was a strange night. It was like the outfielders were on skates. They were all falling down. We look back at seven walks and four hit batsmen. A lot of things came into play in that game. And including myself, that's why I said that. It's not just them.
Well, and
he was about to throw down, Corey. You saw it.
Okay, I'm going to dive into the throwdown. So last night, the two teams did meet on the field for a small conversation and then went back to their respective dugouts. Do managers get along, or is there like this underlying competitive sports hate involved with you guys?
Oh, I think for the most part, yeah. I think managers get along. It's a case where you may know of one manager better than the other, obviously. Might have played with them or spent time with them, but between the winter meetings and when you play a team, a lot of times managers get together and talk. I don't so much. I guess I'm a little bit old school like that, but certain ones I do, like Kotze, who played for me, Boat, who played for me. Yeah, we get together. And that's, last night. I mean, it's the last thing we're trying to do. And you understand that they're getting guys hit. But you know what? It's almost like I felt like they should be thanking us for doing that. That's how they won the game. And so, I just, when someone's looking to dugout, yelling whatever, I'm going to go out and find out what he's yelling about. I mean, come on. And I get it. These guys want to take up for their players, that's our job. But that's all. I just want to, see what is this yelling about? Because I was more mad than he was. Trust me. The fact that we're hitting guys and walking guys.
I was kind of curious. Do you know of any managers over your career that just really didn't like you?
They didn't like me.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I couldn't tell you. But, you know, there's some that you don't care for as much, I guess, is the way to put it.
That is a good, very, very diplomatic way to put it. I know you're used to this being a manager, as Corey just mentioned, not just the bullpen, but you get questioned about your decisions. I know he just pinch hit last night, but can you walk us through kind of the idea of bringing Jock back and putting him in the middle of the lineup when he's struggled just so tremendously this season?
Yeah, well, he was swinging the bat pretty good before he left. He had a good game down there, and so I'm just trying to balance out the lineup and trying to get this guy going. That's part of it. He's a guy that can carry a ball club. Granted, he struggled early, and you'd like to think that's behind him. And he's still trying to find his way. You know, our left-handed bats aren't quite as hot as we'd like for him to be, or they would like to be, including Evan Carter. You know, we're trying to get him going too. So, but yeah, you have to, you know, change things up when they've had, you know, a couple of games and they're still trying to find it, because we need to win ball games now. And part of it will be tonight. We're facing a right-hander, but, you know, Higgy, he's swinging so well that I'm going to DH him, keep his bat in there. This guy's kind of a reverse split guy right now, where righties are having more success. And so, you know, and I'll sit down with Jock and, you know, tell him, because we got to get him going. You know, again, you got a power bat that's done a lot of damage in this game and, you know, has a knack for getting a big RBI. And so you got to keep pushing, you know, in some way to, you know, to get him going.
I know he had the hit and the RBI last night. And we all believe he's immensely talented, but Ezekiel Duran has struggled quite a bit this season as well. Can you tell us anything about short-term, long-term, what you think his future is with this club?
Yeah, yeah, you're right, Zeke. He's had his struggles there at the plate. We've seen him do great things, and I will say now, he's made a little adjustment. We got him on the plate a little bit, where he can cover the, you know, the ball away and don't try to, you know, hit where the pitch is, so to speak. Get a good pitch a hit, and let's catch it out front a little bit more. And so that's a big hit he got, a huge hit, you know, up the middle. I mean, he hit that ball well. I thought the other swing was a good swing. Cut it toward the end on the changeup to left field, but, you know, the bunt, you know, that's when it looked ugly.
Yeah.
Leading off the inning, you know, if anything, you know, we should have had him taking a pitch there. But we saw the first baseman back, and you like his thinking. He's trying to get on base for the team. That's who he is. I mean, this guy's one of the more popular guys on the team, believe me. He brings so much energy and everything. But his versatility, that's makes him so valuable. The bat, it's there. I know it's there. You know, it's hard to get it going when you're not getting those consistent at bats. I get it, but still, it's a role that, you know, you got to figure it out, or it doesn't, you know, stay your role.
Is that a difficult balancing act at all? I know it's your job, but you talked about how popular he is in the clubhouse and with the organization versus, hey, if you're not hitting, you're not hitting. Like, is that a tough balance, or do you think everyone in the room understands, like, hey, everybody loves the guy, but at this point, if he's not hitting, I got to sit him now?
Yeah, well, he's been sitting down, and he did go down to Round Rock, and he's a guy that he is valuable late in the ball game, because you could pinch run him. Something happens during the game, he can play anywhere, including catch. Well, you've seen him pitch, but
yes,
you know, he's ready to do anything, this kid. And so, you know, there's something about, you know, that value. I just think, you know, the bat, the swing where it's at is in a much better place. If he was where he's at now, he wouldn't be hitting what he's hitting all, you know, been hitting all year.
You know, you were talking a few moments ago about the defense, and last night and the last couple nights, you had some weird defensive moments, but overall, this defense has been very efficient. What do you attribute that to?
just work every day. I mean, every day, infielders out there getting their work in. Ragsdale kind of runs the infield there, and you know, they're getting fungos every day. You know, at every position, turning to infield in all those things. Beasley has the outfield, and it's just consistent work. You know, and that's daily too. If we don't hit, one thing we do is go out there and take ground balls and do our infield stuff. And so, you know, that's how, you know, you get better. And these guys do a great job of being out there, you know, getting their work in every day. Marcus, he's incredible. I mean, there's times I really don't want him out there, but he won't miss a day. And, you know, just a credit to, because, you know, he's playing every day, and, but he's just got a gift that, you know, he bounces back well, and he's so resilient, you know, and you saw how tough he is to get hit in the head and still stay in the game.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you just don't see players like Marcus, you know, very often in the game.
Yeah, and it's good to be able to hang your hat on good defense. Boach, what's it like working with Chris Young around this time of year when the trade deadline's coming up, and you kind of know, like, it does feel a little like Christmas might be coming sometimes with this guy, but he's so competitive and he wants to win. What kind of walk us through the experience of working with him around now?
Well, he's busy, real busy. I can tell you that. Yeah, we talked yesterday. He's, you know, they're meeting right now. I can promise you, you're looking at any scenario that may help this club, but you have to do what makes sense. But yeah, no, he keeps in touch with me, with everybody. He's not on the road because he's back there, you know, working on things. But when we're at home, you know, he's around. He is competitive. He's got a nice edge, good edge, you know, because it's all about winning with him. And as much as winning, just doing things right, playing the game right. You know, just you know, playing, as we say, with passion, being a good teammate. And so he's you know, a guy that you know, just does a great job, you know, leading his team in, you know, in different ways, whether it's on the field or off the field.
Is there a specific backup defensive depth position that you feel like you strongly need? Whether it's is it infield, outfield? What are you kind of feeling there?
Well, if anywhere, I would say catching depth. I mean, we almost lost Higgy, and so, you know, don't have a guy with experience that could come up and back up. So, you know, we've talked about that. So I would say, you know, that would be probably one of the priorities that we have talked about. We're always looking at pitching. Can't have enough pitching and, you know, whether it's starting or you know, relieving. Of course, you know, there's a position player out there that makes sense. You know, but when you look at the position players, I mean, we're pretty well set.
Yeah,
you know, these guys just do their thing and play like you know, they normally do, how they're capable of playing. Then we should be fine.
I understand you can never have too much pitching. If you did order your shopping list, I don't know if you can tip your hand about this. Is it fair to say that high leverage bullpen arms would be at the top of the list in the next 24 hours or so?
Yeah, I don't know if there's any clubs out there that wouldn't say something like that too. You know, well, yeah, so that's competitive. But sure, of course. You know, with Martin going down, you know, that was a big hit we took. And so, yeah, I think that's fair to say.
And I know we had already talked about John Gray at the start, but how do you think he has adapted to kind of the newer role since he came back? And is this the role that you believe he'll kind of stay in as your jack-of-all-trades bullpen sort of person?
Yeah, I think he's done a good job. I mean, he had a hiccup last night. That's our guy. That was a perfect. It was set up just right for him, going in the sixth inning with where the order was, and you know, didn't work out. But so, you know, he's still, I guess you could say, you know, in the early part of you know, his his recovery, coming off that rehab, not early, but, you know, he had a lengthy rehab. We made sure he was stretched out to be a starter. So he's good with that. To bounce him back, I'm talking about as a reliever, but he had plenty of rest. You know, he had his days off, so he was fresh. He was good to go. Everything was set up, you know, the way we wanted. It just didn't, again, work out.
Well, we appreciate the time. As always, hope y'all get that win in L.A. tonight and then rock and roll on to Seattle.
Hi, guys. Great talking with you.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan.